I want to welcome you this morning to our online worship services for Selma Christ United Methodist Church and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'm so blessed to be able to serve both of these beautiful congregations. They are certainly filled with people who love the Lord and who reach out and who are committed in their walk with Jesus. One of the things that I often ask both of my churches is, where have you seen God? Where have you seen God in your midst? Where have you witnessed God's hand move in our world or in your life or with maybe a friend? Well, today I think it's still important for us to answer that question because God is still at work. God is still moving. And we see God around us all the time. Even in our homes, when we have to isolate ourselves, we still experience God's hand of work. That might come in a phone call from a friend or a family member, someone just reaching out to you, sharing their love and sharing their concern about how you're doing, how you keep it up with things and all. It might come from maybe stepping outside your door and going for a walk, and as you do so, happen to see a beautiful flowers blooming and understanding and knowing that here is God's creative work at hand, and God truly is in charge, and God is so good. I know that's what happened for me this past week as I was going to my church office. I stepped out the door and here right next to my sidewalk were these beautiful daffodils all in bloom. And I sent an email out to the church folks and shared with them this picture and a word about that. But it was just like it was something special just for me from the Lord. Here are these beautiful flowers blooming. And it was 33 degrees outside. It was gloomy, icky, rainy, just an awful depressing day. And yet here is these beautiful daffodils in bloom. And it was as if God was saying, Andy, I am right here with you. And see my creative hand at work. And in the midst of all of the difficulties and struggles and the dark times, I am going to be with all people at all time. And in our church, in our community, our world will get through this. God is so good. God is so good. I want you to continue to look for where you've seen God. And maybe even take that a step further. Maybe you could be that person where you could share a God moment with another. Maybe you could be that person where you pick up the phone and call someone and bless them. And so that other individual might say, I experienced God at work this week when so-and-so called me and just lifted me up and encouraged me and prayed with me. Oh, church, now is the time to be the church. And let us do that. Let us do that well. Let us do all the good we can in every way. And let us pray now together as a family of faith. Loving God, we praise you and we lift you up and we give you thanks for your love and your grace for us. God, we do see you at work in our life and in our world. Lord, we know, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And just as you healed before, you are currently healing lives now. And so, Lord, just as you were in control of things in the past, you are in control of things now, Lord, and you call us to fear not. Lord Jesus, we pray for our community. We pray for those healthcare workers that are on the front line with this awful virus. We pray for your protection, Lord, for doctors and nurses and healthcare workers and all of those emergency folks who have to respond to the needs here in our community and throughout the state and throughout our world. Keep them safe, Lord, in every way. Get them the supplies and all that they need. Work this all out, Jesus, we would pray. And Lord, we pray for one another, especially for those who are lonely. God, just speak your word of grace and help in every way. We pray, God, for those who are suffering these days, especially, God, those who have lost loved ones to this coronavirus. Lord, just wrap your arms around them and bring to them your encouragement and your peace in every way as they walk through that valley of the shadow. There's been no other time in our lives that we've experienced a thing like this. And so, Lord, just help us to draw near to you and near to one another and lift up those who need that special care and touch. We pray for our congregation, Lord, in both the New Burlington and the Selma Christ Church, that you would just meet each one of us where we are. Bring to us your encouragement and your peace and your help and your hope. And Lord, we love you. That never changes. Just as we know that your love for us will never end, that never changes. God, we again just give you all of our praise and thanks for all your goodness. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, church, we live in an age of rapid change. Our lives, our surroundings, our routines constantly changing, sometimes so fast that we don't even notice it. And we can't keep track and we can't keep up. And in the process, things that once were necessities to us become obsolete, even kind of ridiculous, like using a rotary telephone. You remember those days? or having several paper maps in your glove box just to find your way home, or adjusting your rabbit ears on your television. Even fairly recent technologies and routines are even gone. Like getting film developed, or popping a VHS tape into a VCR, untangling a phone cord, storing information on a floppy disk. You remember those? Cassette tapes, encyclopedia sets. In fact, if you have a 10-year-old boy today and you hand him a sheet of carbon paper, more than likely he'll have no idea what to do with it. Those things once had a purpose, a use that everyone understood, but somewhere, somehow, things changed. And you know, the same thing can happen with people. The same thing can happen with people. When we were young, life was all about playing. It was all about having fun, and then it became about learning and getting an education, and then the focus was working and getting ahead, and somewhere, somehow, things changed. So much so that for many folks kind of reached that Peggy Lee point where that famous singer and signature song asked, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Isn't there more to life than just getting a job and getting ahead? Is there more in life than just making money and acquiring stuff? More than this endless cycle of sleeping and waking and ups and downs and overs? Is it possible to live life with a purpose, with meaning, and with significance? Well, of course it is, church. Of course it is. And I hope you believe that. Because Jesus believed it. And not only did he believe it, but he showed us the way to that kind of life. That life of abundance. That life of not acquiring stuff, but that life truly of abundance. In fact, early in his ministry, he revealed something important about himself and about everyone who follows him. And he did this in a lot of ways, but perhaps most forcefully in the statement that he gave to his hometown synagogue. And this is our text today from the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 16 and ending with 21. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, that would be fine to do. And if you don't have a Bible handy close to you, then I'll put this on the screen for you. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been following the Son of God movie, and if you've not seen this movie in a while, you might want to download it during these long days of isolation. And from these stories of this film and from our scriptures, we've been seeing one facet after another of who Jesus is and all that he can do for those who put their trust, who put their faith in him. And today is no different as we look at Jesus' revelation of himself as the anointed one, the one promised by the prophets. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21 says this. When he, Jesus, came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Oh, he rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Wow. Now, numerous scholars agree that what Jesus read that day, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, was not part of the half Torah, the schedule of readings in synagogue for synagogue worship. In other words, Jesus did something that you just don't do. He didn't follow the reading for the day. No, he chose his own text, what is marked in our Bibles as Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And he chose it, I believe, for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is pretty hard to miss. It's pretty easy to see. And that is to announce his mission statement as the anointed one, as the Messiah. And he was stating, matter-of-factly, this is why I am here. This is my purpose. To say the least, it was a controversial claim to say that he was the anointed one the world awaited for centuries, the Son of God, the Son of Man. But he did even more than that. In revealing his mission as the anointed one, Jesus also characterized the kingdom that he was ushering in. He painted this picture, not only of how he would operate, but of how his kingdom would operate, and how everyone who calls himself or herself a follower of Jesus would operate. In other words, in proclaiming his mission statement, Jesus wrote your mission statement if you're his follower. That means you and I never have to wonder what our purpose is. You don't have to worry over why you've been put here on this earth. Jesus intends for everyone who follows him to reflect his priorities, to pursue his purpose. And that'll mean basically three things for you and for me. The first thing that means is that we are to accept his mission. When Jesus read those words from Isaiah in the synagogue, it would have been understood by every Jew listening that those words applied to the Messiah, the anointed one. And secondly, they refer to the year of Jubilee. Oh, you see, the Jews had a custom ordained by God that not only would every seventh day of the week be a Sabbath, a day of rest, but that every seventh year would also be a Sabbath, when the whole land would not be farmed and all. And after every seventh Sabbath of years, in other words, after 50 years, every 50th year, there would be what was called the Year of Jubilee. And in that year, all slaves would be set free. All those whose poverty had forced them to sell their lands would receive those lands back again. Those who had lost a family member into slavery or into imprisonment would be reunited with their loved ones. So you can see why it's called the year of Jubilee. I mean, that is what Jesus said his mission was. What the law prescribed, what Isaiah promised, Jesus fulfilled. He came to bring good news to the poor, the kind of news that was supposed to have them dancing in the streets every 50 years. He came to bring broken families together, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the hurting. He came to free the slaves, to open the doors of darkness, to untie people's hands, to unfold their wings. Oh, Jesus is here to proclaim the year of Jubilee, but not just for this one year every 50 years. That was already the case. But Jesus has come to bring a worldwide Jubilee that every year, every day would speak the good news to the poor and liberty to the captives and healing to the brokenhearted, forgiveness for the guilty, freedom for those who feel control, release for those who are trapped, deliverance, laughter, relief, joy, Jubilee. That was his vision. And that is our mission together. Your mission, my mission, is not merely to go to the church for an hour or two a week. Your mission and mine is to take joy and praise and worship and healing and fun out into the public, out into the streets, and share it with those who are around you. Share it with your world. All but in revealing himself as the anointed one, Jesus calls us to accept his mission, accept this mission. Secondly, I'm also convinced that Jesus intended for you and me to adopt his method, to adopt his method. You see, it's so easy to miss that the incredible impact of what Jesus said in that synagogue at Nazareth. I mean, after all, there were many texts Jesus might have chosen for his first sermon, texts that applied to him as the Messiah. I mean, he could have unrolled the Isaiah scroll just a little further to Isaiah 63:1, where it says, "Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes marching in this great strength?" Oh, it is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save. Oh, Jesus could have rolled back 19 chapters to Isaiah 42 and read, "Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction." Oh, but Jesus didn't choose these texts, though they are prophecies that refer to Jesus. Instead, Jesus turned to Isaiah 61:1. And why? Why? What made Jesus choose this passage? Well, maybe it was this. Maybe it was this. Jesus' mission statement made it clear that people are his priority. People are his priority. Of all the texts that Jesus could have chosen, he chose a passage about sharing good news and proclaiming freedom to people, bringing healing to people, releasing prisoners, about compassionately meeting people where they are. See, that is the spirit of Christ, and that is the spirit of his followers. Isaiah 42:3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus is about people, setting the oppressed free, releasing those who have the infirmity. The blind will see. It's the time of the Lord's favor is come. You see, Jesus' followers, the fellow Jews of his day knew that they were called by God to be a light to the Gentiles. But they really didn't much like Gentiles. In fact, Jesus' fellow Jews didn't much care for liking Samaritans either, nor did they care a lot for the Romans or tax collectors. In fact, they didn't much like women or children or... But guess what? Jesus did. Jesus did. And the kingdom that Jesus introduced, this new way of life, made it possible, the purpose and the calling that Jesus intends for his followers. You see, it is this new, and it's this living way, one that has enough grace for everyone. It is one that excludes no one. It is one that spreads jubilee everywhere. Oh, the method of your mission given to you by Jesus, you see, is love. It is love. Your method is not argument or ridicule or politics or protests, but love. It is to spread healing and hope and joy and jubilee everywhere you go. So, accept Jesus' mission. Adopt Jesus' method. And finally, because you follow the Anointed One, also share his mission. The third thing then, apply his measurement. Apply his measurement. A good while after Jesus announced his mission at the synagogue in Nazareth, something interesting happened. It's found in Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 19. Look at this passage with me. It says, John the Baptist called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we be looking for someone else?" And Jesus told John's disciples, he said, "Go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." Notice what Jesus said to John. Again, he refers to his mission statement. The blind see, the deaf hear, the good news is preached to the poor. We don't know if John was in that synagogue when Jesus read from Isaiah. He may have been, the two men were cousins after all, but when John asked, "Are you really the Messiah, or do we keep looking?" Jesus said, "Look at the measure of the Messiah, John. Look at the measure of the Messiah. Look, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is being preached to the poor." He said, in effect, "Am I not fulfilling my mission? Am I fulfilling my mission or not?" Jesus pointed back to Isaiah 61 as the measure of his success. And I think the measure of Jesus' success is the measure of mine and of yours also. You know, years ago, churches used to award pins or badges for perfect attendance in Sunday school. Do some of you remember that? In fact, some of you probably still have your pins or your badges. And while we don't do that these days, we still kind of measure ourselves. We measure ourselves by, whether we have daily devotions or how many Bible verses we know or how involved we are and what position we occupy in the church and so on. But you see, Jesus applies a different measurement. And we should too. You see, the real measure is in the fulfillment of our mission. The measure for me, the measure for you is really this. Am I spreading healing and hope and joy and jubilee everywhere I can? Are the people around me in my circle coming to join the jubilee? Are my friends, my family, neighbors, co-workers discovering the joy of the life that I've discovered? Can I, like Jesus, point to the fruits of my efforts and say, am I spreading jubilee? Am I loving people closer to God? Has someone's life changed because I'm in their life? Could I say, look at the fruits. People's eyes are being opened. People are finding new strength, new health, new life, new joy because I am following Jesus and He is working in me and through me. Well, I pray that it may be so in me and in you for us all. Let us pray together. Loving God, we want to be a people of jubilee, making a difference in the kingdom, loving people closer to you, especially in these days of unrest and isolation. Oh Lord, we also know there have been times in our life where we failed at this by withholding a kind or a gracious word, or by not stepping up when we could, or by doing that which is counterproductive to following your will and way. Forgive us, Lord, and help us from this day forward, by your grace and in your strength, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to spread the influence of your kingdom from this moment on. For this we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Go now in the strength and the peace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience His peace. Amen.